Well, good morning again, everybody. We are very thankful to God for each of you coming out this morning to spend an hour with us. And we are thankful that you are coming out to encourage the children that are among us. And I don't know how many of you are aware, but every Wednesday evening, we have such a blessed time with these children. Anywhere between 8 to 12 kids are here. And we have the privilege of sharing the truth of God's word with them, to lift up the Lord Jesus. And I can tell you that everybody who's here on a Wednesday evening, we end it on such a joyful, blessed note. So God has been good to us, and I'm thankful that as a chapel, we feel that this is important. And so I want to say this on behalf of the chapel, to the parents who are here, that we are so blessed to be a part of your kids' spiritual journey. And if the foundation is set right, they will go on beyond us. We will be gone from here, but they will hold on to the truth of God, and they will be a light in their generation and in their time. And this is important. That's why God gives us children, and that's why he brings us to them, so that we can raise them up for his glory. So today, we want to glorify God, especially as we consider the scriptural account of the birth of the Lord Jesus, God's own son. And I would like this opportunity for us to be one where we glorify God as we consider many aspects of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes our familiarity and over-familiarity with Scripture kills that wonder, and it takes the work of the Lord to open our eyes to see what God has done. Because when we are out of this body, this truth that we are talking about is going to be an eternal wonder. C.S. Lewis, a great mind, once said that the greatest miracle that he can think of, and he was a sharp mind, is the incarnation. God becoming man is something beyond our understanding. And you know when we will understand that wonder? When we go to heaven and see the Lord in all his glory, we'll see, is this the one who lay in a manger the first night he spent on earth? We will wonder, how much did he humble himself? That wonder is still waiting for us. Wait till we see him in all his glory and see the marks on his hands. So today we want to glorify God. And Christmas season is special for many people. It's bright, magical, joyful. There's gifts, food, shopping, decorations. Generally people call it the Christmas spirit. I think you know what I mean. The colors. But you sense something that's special in the air and everywhere you go. But after having understood the account of the birth of Christ, I can honestly tell you, nothing comes quite close to the wonder we experience when we consider the birth of the Lord Jesus. It's not about shopping. It's not about the gifts that we can give each other. It's about the gift that God has given in such a marvelous way, that he would come down to this world in human form, and just like we sang, be our Savior, Savior of sinners like me. So just as we begin into that, I want to bring something into perspective. Yesterday I was out, last 2 days out for a robotics event for my son. Full day we spent in a college in Warren. And talking to some friends, I realized that how some people have stopped to think what a miracle life is. Life is a wonder. It's a miracle, but we take it for granted. The next breath that we are taking is not in our hands. It comes from the Lord. Life is a wonder. And I'll briefly touch on one aspect. Let's consider things from the perspective of speed. You know what speed is? Let's give a broad definition. It's how we cover distances. It's how fast we cover distances. That's speed. What's the fastest that you have traveled that you can remember? Car? Plane? Well, if you're in a car on the roads in the U.S., you go 70, 80. If you're 90, I once was with somebody going over 90, sure enough, we got a ticket. So watch out. But I was speaking to people who have driven on the Autobahn yesterday, and they were showing me pictures of their speedometer. They were like 250 kilometers per hour, and they were bragging about it. And the record in the Autobahn is 270 miles per hour, about that much, 270 miles per hour. You really have to floor the car to get that speed. And in an airplane, you don't even feel it, but when you're in an airplane, you're generally flying at 500 to 600 miles per hour. Our pilot Will can tell you, take an whole hour to explain that to us. But here is the wonder. Did you know that by the time this meeting is over, that you would have already traveled 1,000 miles as the earth rotates on its axis? 1,000 miles per hour. You don't even feel it. We're living on a ball that's spinning at 1,000 miles per hour. Mind-boggling. 45 miles per hour, you got to buckle up. And then, do you know how fast we revolve around the sun? And by the way, we are close to completing one more trip around the sun. By the end of the year, it's one more trip done. It's 67,000 miles per hour. We can't even figure it in our heads. That's how fast we are. And it's on this planet that we live our lives, spinning and moving around. How many of you woke up this morning worried that the sun may not rise again? None of us. We take so much for granted. That's my point. That life is an absolute miracle, totally sustained by God. And we take so much for granted. But when we look at the birth of the Lord Jesus, you come down to the fundamentals. You start to wonder, what is life? How is it seen from God's eyes? And so this amazing, complex system that we call home, where we live, where you know, so much happens, that there is this whole history of humanity that has happened on this planet that is spinning and revolving around the sun. Wars are fought, empires rise up and then crumble, businesses rise up and crumble, people are born, they live, they die. This is this planet Earth. That's our story. And if you look very closely, it's actually a place where diseases run wild. There is curse and there is death and there is sadness. It's a very messy world. It's broken and it's sad, both within us and around us. And the Bible describes that we are actually spiritually dead. And it is God who, outside of this mess, can truly tell us what our situation is. And so to redeem us from this situation, to bring us back to life, to restore our fellowship back to God, God took the initiative 2,000 years ago and did something that we will talk about for the next few minutes and all through eternity. We will never lose that wonder in eternity. How could God humble himself to become this little human being, helpless? And we will understand more and more. And the more we understand, the more we will fall at his feet. Nearly 2,000 years ago, as the scripture says, God took on human flesh. And God, who is always God, he was never man from the beginning. He was always God. And you cannot become God. God is God. Nobody else is God. You cannot become God. But God took on human flesh and became a man. That is the story of incarnation. So some extraordinary events that God put into motion just before he brought his son. I would like you to think about it. And that birth account of the Lord Jesus is tied to somebody else's birth account. Do you know who that person is? Anybody. It's John the Baptist. So let me give you a listing of it. The first miraculous thing you read in Luke chapter 1 is that an angel visits Zacharias while he is serving in the temple. And he's stunned and he's afraid. And then a conversation happens and a prophecy that you will have a son. He says, unbelievable. My wife is past her years. She can't do it. No. And the angel tells that there will be great rejoicing at the birth of this little child. And so to me, it's a wonder that Elizabeth, who was quite old, the scripture says, we don't know her age, but God created in her the ability to bear a child. This is unbelievable. And about this couple, the Bible says that they were a God-fearing couple. They were righteous before God. Does God care that we live for him? What if nobody knows about us? It doesn't matter. In God's eyes, if we are perfect in the sense our hearts are right before him, he takes notice. And you will soon see that Elizabeth was granted the privilege of bearing the herald to the Messiah. It was an unbelievable privilege. To Zacharias and Elizabeth, it was mentioned that your child will go before the face of the Lord. What a privilege. He's going to be the forerunner. And many will rejoice at his birth. And what will this child do? This child is going to turn many people to the Lord. He will come in the spirit of Elijah. That's John the Baptist. And then we read about the angel's announcement to an unknown girl by the name Mary, not famous, in a small town called Nazareth. The angel visits this and she's stunned. But her response, and we don't have time to go over it, is just amazing. I cannot tell you what a model Mary is to us in the service of the Lord. We will touch on a few aspects. When Mary realizes from the angel that her relative Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant, she rushes out to meet Elizabeth. And as Elizabeth and Mary meet each other and Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, something happens. Does anybody know? John the Baptist, who is still in the womb, about whom it was prophesied that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit before his birth, 6 months pregnant, this child leaps, and Elizabeth felt it. And she, filled with the Holy Spirit, started to glorify God. And she recognized Mary, who is much younger to her, and she says, "What a blessing, Mary, you are the mother of my Lord, and you've come to meet me." And they both glorified God together. This John the Baptist was the first person outside of Mary to recognize that the Messiah is very close. I'm ready to go for him. This was John who was prepared by God. All the four gospel accounts talk about John the Baptist because he was sent by God with an express mission to turn the hearts of people to the Lord. 6 months still in the womb, he recognized, "I'm so close to the Messiah. I'm ready to go for him." When I considered this, and it totally occurred to me recently, I was humbled that God did something. How can two unborn children recognize each other when they're not even in the same womb? Isn't that supernatural? And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, praises God. And what does Mary do? She decides to stay on for 3 more months. What does that mean? Very likely, she witnessed the birth of John the Baptist as a little baby. And she went back rejoicing. Remember, she had a tough job to raise the Son of God. But she was rejoicing, as did many people when they saw John born. And he was named John, not by a family name, but because the angel told, "You are going to give him the name John." It means God's grace. God was doing something extraordinary, not in the palace, but in a small town, Nazareth, and somewhere in Judea where Elizabeth and Zacharias lived. But I couldn't think of a better place for Mary as a young virgin girl to spend than the godly couple of Elizabeth and Zacharias. They would have encouraged her so much in those 3 months. Can you believe it? I'd never connected these dots. And Mary came back rejoicing. She has a tough job ahead of us. And when Elizabeth and Mary met each other and they started praising God, that is what in the Catholic tradition is called the Magnificat, or you know what I mean. Mary has a lot. Her words are extraordinary, extraordinary. And we'll talk about some of those. So, I want us to think a little bit about Mary. We cannot talk about the Lord, especially his birth, without considering this person who was highly favored of God among all women of all history. This was God's plan. Mary was a poor girl from a small town called Nazareth, a very ordinary girl, I believe. Not famous, not a wizard. What? But something was special about her. She was highly favored by God among all women. God appointed her, as he did many other people in history, for his purposes. God appointed Mary to bear his own son. "I would not give my child to somebody if I know that they are not trustworthy, they are not faithful, and they will not take care of my child. I will not." But God was willing to entrust his son to this lowly maiden. How much of understanding and knowledge did this decision need? God was not rash with it. And even today, to me, this is a lesson that God is seeking among His children people who are faithful to Him. He actually wants to work with faithful people. You don't need to be famous. You don't need to be skilled. You don't need to be very talented. But if you're faithful and your heart is right, you will be picked up by God for His purpose. I know that for a fact. That's how God works. Now, I want us to consider what is special about Mary. I wrote down a few things I'd like to share. One is, I find her faith very refreshing. In a time when Bibles were not available, where cell phones were not there, she didn't have much access to all of this, she would have hung on to the little description she heard from her relatives about God. She knew that God was going to send a Messiah into this world. You can see that in her prayer. She hung on to that hope. And when the angel came and told that you are going to bear the Son of God, she was stunned. She had a very living, lively faith, even as a young teenager, I believe. And her willingness to accept God's will wholeheartedly, not knowing what lies ahead. This is exactly the pattern that Abraham had. She doesn't know. She doesn't have a manual to look at, tons of books, to self-help books. None of that. How is she going to bear God's own son? But she was willing to take it on. And she was aware of Scripture. I just appreciate the fact that she loved Scripture. I can see it in her prayer. And then another one. Her first words is, my soul magnifies the Lord. Do we understand what that means? I want to enlarge. I want to make great the name of the Lord. This is the words of this humble girl recorded for all history. Is that the core desire of our lives? I want to magnify the Lord. That was her desire. And then she goes on, my soul rejoices in the Lord. She experienced great joy in the Lord. Nothing that this world can offer can come quite close to it. She rejoiced, and her deep desire was, I want to magnify the Lord. And she knew that she was going to carry a child that was given by God. You know, we have two boys, and most of us have kids. We know what it feels like to have our own kids and have control and authority. But what if somebody else had given their kid to you for a little while? That's how Mary felt. She knew that this is God's child given to her that she has to carry and raise for His glory. To me, this tells us about how God works with the humble, the poor, and the meek people of this world. And I'd close with this for Mary's meditation, is that when the angel told and explained what would happen to her, she confessed a line which I would love to borrow. She said, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it happen to me according to your will. She wanted to be identified not as her own girl, but as a servant of the Lord. No wonder God highly favored her among all women. She enjoyed the favor of the Lord, experienced deep joy, but she also had sharp pain years later when she would see her son hung on a cross. Oh, can't explain this. And she's standing there speechless. She knows he's the Son of God. Her silence is a testimony. If she knew that he was not the Son of God, no mother would stand there silent. They would go and say, my son is a madman, just let him go. But she stood there, remembering the first night and then him on the cross. And 3 days later, she would find to her utter amazement that this Jesus Christ, who she once bore, conquers the grave. And she would be there as the first believers get together, waiting for the promise of the Lord. She was there. And so were her other siblings, who until then likely didn't believe in the Lord. She is the servant of the Lord. And to me, she's a very good example. And it is to this servant of the Lord that God Almighty in His sovereign will decided that He will send the perfect servant of the Lord, which is His own Son. Not to anybody. And you and I carry Christ in our lives. I don't know how we... Are we careless with that? I don't know. It was a huge challenge for me as I considered. I am carrying Christ. How do I carry Him? So we talked about the people, Zacharias, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, Mary. We talked about places, Jerusalem, where Elizabeth and Zacharias were very likely ministering Nazareth, which is where Mary was. And now I want to briefly talk about Bethlehem before we have the children come over. Something extraordinary happened 2,500 miles away from Mary's home. I think Mary knew that God's son, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. Anybody who was well-versed with scripture knew that. Micah 5 and verse 2. But she is in Nazareth. How is this going to happen? And then comes a big edict from Caesar Augustus, who by that time had assumed the title not only of a Roman emperor, but as the son of a god. You can read more about him. Octavian, how he kept on assuming bigger and bigger titles so that in Rome, they were expected to worship the emperor. It is in that context, in a far removed place, Mary is getting ready to give birth to God's own son. And we don't have time to think about it, but you should before Christmas. What all struggles Mary had. Just days before delivering, she gets the news that she has to travel to Bethlehem. And that must have been a rough journey, not knowing where she will find a place, what is going to happen. They don't have relatives there. They come to Bethlehem and it's overcrowded. There is no place. And finally, where all these travelers keep their animals, is very likely that somebody said, hey, here you can have a place for yourself. And Joseph and Mary settled down. And that's where God's son was born. I can't believe it. God could have afforded for Mary a palace of gold right in that moment in Bethlehem. He could have turned that whole place into something else. But this was God's heart, that he was going to come down, down, down to the lowest place so that there would be no place that he would be unwilling to come to. That is God's heart. He wants to enter your and my life and be part of us. So I would, at this point, welcome our children to come over. We're going to sing a few songs. We are only half the strength. I just got a message that something difficult has happened to another family who usually have four more kids. So we'll just go ahead with the kids that we have, John and Isaac, Marjay, Jimir. Do you want to come over? And then the rest of us can join in singing. We are going to sing for the glory of God, just like the angels did. So here we go with the first one, which is, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Oh, God.
Thank you. We will sing, or rather, we will read some scripture between us. I'm going to read the first three, and then Isaac, can you read from 4 to 47? Okay. So we're going to read the account that Dr. Luke has written. Dr. Luke, and he was so detailed, and that's why I said when he wrote about Zacharias and Elizabeth, he knew that medically it was impossible for her to bear a child. And God did that wonder. So here we go. Dr. Luke, chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. That included Judea. This was the first census that took place when Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in this town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger."
Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those of whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We will now sing the song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Ready?
Mercy, my God and sinners, rest.
blessing because he lives at the end. Yeah, you can all settle down. So Mary had this amazing experience where there were not too many people with her when she gave birth. I think that cattle were watching when she gave birth. And all the angels in the heavenly host. It was a pretty cold, dark, smelly, and a messy place where God's son spent his first night. It humbles me. I don't know what we are proud about, but that humbles me. That God could have afforded so much more. But in his sovereign plan, he decided that his son would lay in a cattle feeding trough the first night. And his last few hours, he would spend hanging on a cross. What did God do for us? And that's why many people, they just reject it, saying that God could have afforded better, right? We all want better, more convenience, better luxury. But that was not God's plan. He was bringing his son into the darkness and the mess of this world. And he's willing to call every heart his home if you're willing to open. There's no place so dark, so sinful, so filthy that he will not enter. He will come in and he will bring his light because he is the Emmanuel. That was his name. And when he is with us, he is with us both in time and space. What do I mean? That there will never be a moment in your life that you sense that he is not with me. He's always going to be with you. Even when you go past this life. And no matter which place you go, his presence is there. God came to be with us. He entered human history and forever wants to be part of our story. And for you to be part of his story, you need to do something. And that is to believe in the Lord Jesus. When you believe in the Lord Jesus, Marjorie, can you tell me what does the Lord Jesus give us? And what is that life called? It's a special life. Remember, we've been saying it's called eternal life. And with eternal life, it's a package that you will take all eternity to understand. It's got many things, like you become God's own child. God comes to dwell in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. You are sealed. And you are going to be more and more like Jesus when you go through life. And when you see him, you will be like him. It's a whole thing. It's an eternity spent with God. It's the knowledge of God as we go through life. And really, let me tell you, this is amazing to consider what God did in history for us. And we're living in a special time between his first coming and his second. For people who lived before his first coming, everything was a little hazy. Now we know he has come to give his life. And he gave his life. He redeemed mankind. For all who believe in him, this work is sufficient. And he's coming again. This time he will not be in a manger. You will see him in all his glory. Every eye will see him in all his glory. But you know, the experience of Mary was in some ways very different because there were strangers coming to her and telling her, hey, this is what we heard about your baby. When she went to the temple, she didn't know this old person by the name Simeon. But guided by the Holy Spirit, he came up and picked up that child and said something amazing that made Mary wonder. Shepherds, we don't know these shepherds. Why are they coming here? And then wise men from the east. And all these things confirmed to Mary that God is bringing this as a news for all people. This is not Mary's baby. This is God's son for all people. That's what the angel said. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. And that is what Simeon also said as he held that baby 8 days old. He said, let your servant depart in peace because I have seen your salvation, whom you have prepared for all people. That includes you and me. We are in that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You and I. And Jesus is happy to be called a friend of sinners. Though he is holy and very high, he wants to be called a friend of sinners. I'd like to, rather than speak out the words, I'd like to sing a song. I'd like to sing a song which is, Mary, Did You Know? I think you may have heard that song. It was written as a play many years ago by a man named Mark Lowry. And if as a kid he wrote this song, I wonder what kind of an understanding he had of this truth. So what we will do is, very quickly, just need to do a little setup here to fix things, and then we should be good. Maybe this thing doesn't want to cooperate, in which case I will have to find another way. I'm sorry. Technical glitches. Let's see if this works better.
Years gone by, black and white TV. But said, normal service will be resumed as soon as possible. We are expecting it.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Thank you. Mary, did you know? So we will end with a song, which is that we've had a very tough year, no doubt about it. We don't know what the future is. But because this babe of Bethlehem, this Lord of Calvary, because he rose again, we can face tomorrow. And we want to end this program on that note, that because he lives, I can face my tomorrow. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Not because I got everything in order, but because he lives, when I keep my eyes on him, somehow I gain supernatural strength to go through my trials. And he tells me, do not fear. Do not be anxious. I have overcome the world. With him we are conquerors. We have hope. We're moving every week to such a glorious future that's way beyond our imagination. And if we could, with this song, children, if you can come over, we'll sing this song together. And all of us who know this song, it's a very popular song, Because He Lives. Because remember, the manger was not the destination. He only spent maybe one night or a few nights. But remember, it was the cross and then an open tomb. And so we're going to sing this song, Because He Lives, We Can Face Tomorrow.
Amen.
that note of joyful hope, we would like to close the meeting with prayer. There are some gifts for the children which they will have right after their right after lunch. And I want to thank everybody who has worked hard behind the scenes to put up a small program like this. Our only desire, and our only desire, was to glorify God in this 1 hour. This was our opportunity. And I'm glad that we got it to glorify God, just like those angels did, lowly shepherds that were lowly people. But we trust in a great God who's done great things for us. As we sang, to God be the glory, great things He has done. I would like Brother Danny to come up and close us in prayer. Pray for the food. Thank you.
Thank you to Jasmine for allowing your kids to come here. Keep her in your prayers. It's not Northridge Christmas program, but to me it's better. Hate to confess that. Father, thank you for this day and these kids, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Bless our time downstairs of fellowship and food, and bless these kids with the gifts and the memories. Thank you for technology to take pictures and videos so they can remember these things. Bless the people involved in this kids club that make it possible. And we thank you for that gift of eternal life found in your Lord Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.